Studio 360.
And it'll be 20 years probably before we reverse some of these major trends. Okay, everybody, I got to get to Star Wars. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
That was President Obama abruptly ending a press conference in 2015 to go watch Star Wars, The Force Awakens, which was being screened at the White House. If you're president of the United States and want to see a movie, of course, you don't need to go to the multiplex or wait until it shows up on a streaming service or cable TV. You get a print sent directly from Hollywood to the White House and a projectionist to run the film. That's what every president since Woodrow Wilson has done. Although it was Franklin Roosevelt who, in 1942, converted a cloakroom in the East Wing into a little movie theater. And to this day, that is where presidents go to see any movie they want. A current release, a classic, occasionally a movie that's still in the works. Matt Novak is a writer at Gizmodo. In 2012, he became obsessed with cataloging every movie watched by every president of the United States as president, at the White House, or in the theater at Camp David, or that one time a POTUS actually did go to a DC multiplex. To do his work, he began submitting Freedom of Information Act requests, also known as FOIA. Turns out there are a lot of gaps in the presidential cinematic record. So Matt has been meticulously assembling his list movie by movie. So far, he has mostly focused on the presidents of the last half of the 20th century, Eisenhower to Clinton. And he wouldn't have gotten as far as he has without the help of one guy, a projectionist named Paul Fisher.
Paul Fisher became White House projectionist as his full-time job in 1953, just as Eisenhower was coming into office. And he was just the projectionist for the White House from 1953 to, I believe, 86.
Wow.
And
it's like the film The Butler, only just the movie guy instead of the butler who's there, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And you know, he just kept these methodical notes of not only every movie that the presidents watched, both in the White House and at Camp David, but who was with them.
Oh, wow.
So we know, you know, when Eisenhower's grandkids were watching the movie with them.
And Eisenhower, at the beginning in 53, screened it where? Did the White House Theater yet exist?
Yeah, as I understand it, you know, so the first movie screening inside the White House was 1915.
Right.
And that was
famously.
President Wilson.
Yes.
Famously, yes, infamously.
Yes.
Showing Birth of a Nation, which right. was based on the book The Klansman, you know, this glorification of the Ku Klux Klan. At the time, I haven't yet figured out where they screened it in the White House, but it most certainly wasn't in where the projection room sits today. The person who gets the most credit for sort of revamping the East Room of the White House and turning this, what was essentially a storage closet, you know, coat room, into the proper theater is FDR. But Hoover, just before him in the early 30s, was the first to install permanent projectors in that room.
And the pictures I've seen of it, I was looking actually last year at photographs of it and was surprised to see how kind of interestingly kitschy, vulgar it is. I mean, to my eyes, that this red upholstery, red walls.
Yeah, well, the last redesign, as far as I'm aware, was during the George W. Bush administration. Before that, you can see sort of these beige chairs and everything sort of beige.
Yeah. So let's go through the what you have been able to piece together from the about the cinematic tastes of the presidents, starting with Eisenhower. What did he watch? What kinds of movies did he like to watch?
By far, his favorites were Westerns. There's a movie called The Gunfighter with Gregory Peck
sure.
that was released in 1950 that he watched in 1953.
All right, put up your hands. Now, drop your guns.
I think of Eisenhower. I mean, he was born in the, you know, plains of Kansas in the 19th century. So, I mean, he was not very far from what the Westerns were depicting.
Did you see that? Yes, sir. He drew first.
So, John F. Kennedy, who, of course, was almost like a movie version of a president, what did he watch?
The first movie he actually watched while in office was Spartacus. But he watched it by sneaking away to a movie theater. And we know this, you know, the AP has a photo of him, getting into a car after, going to see Spartacus in downtown Washington.
Right. And he went to such at length to see it, given that it was, especially when it came out in the late 50s, this highly political allegory.
In every city and province, lists of the disloyal have been compiled. Tomorrow they will learn the cost of their terrible folly. That treason.
He watched a surprising number of foreign films. La Dolce Vita comes to mind.
La vado a prendere io, stiano tranquilli, la porto qui subito, dammi le scarpe, dammele, vengo subito.
The foreign films, so do we assume, or am I, this may be an unfair stereotype, that Jacqueline Kennedy was pushing Fellini and those kinds of films on him?
That might have been fair. I think that, you know, if you take a look at some of the films like General Della Rovere.
Scusate, signore. Sapreste indicarci un telefono?
It's almost always with the First Lady. Huh. And that's sort of one of the most fascinating things about the catalogs that Paul Fisher kept. You know who he watched them with. Now, I don't think it's entirely fair to say that it was just the First Lady's influence. For instance, you know, there's a minor Ingmar Bergman film called The Devil's Eye from 1959 that he just watched with Peter Lawford.
There's something slightly mysterious you found in Paul Fisher's logs during the Kennedy term about a British movie that I had never, ever heard of.
Are we talking about Espresso Bongo?
Yes.
Yes, I can't even find a copy of the film. I'd love to see it.
I looked it up, and it's apparently this satirical rock and roll musical released in 59 starring Lawrence Harvey and the actual pop singer Cliff Richard. So talk to me about why that movie stuck out to you.
Paul Fisher, the projectionist of the White House, kept these meticulous logs and very dutifully would write who was in attendance at these screenings. Well, there was one screening, this Espresso Bongo, when the First Lady happened to be out of town, and it just said the president and one guest. So that's we take that for whatever that's worth.
And knowing what we know of John F. Kennedy's predilections, it's hard not to imagine that nameless guest wasn't, I don't know, let's say Marilyn Monroe, but who it could have been anybody, you know?
It honestly could have been anybody, we're going to guess that Mr. Fisher was being discreet.
Yeah. Was Lyndon Johnson a much of a movie watcher? I would kind of think not, but what do I know?
No, he was not. He had, I think, and this is just my speculation, I think he just, based on what I've read, had way too much nervous energy. He couldn't sit still for that long. His favorite movie was a propaganda movie about himself, USIA, United States Information Agency film called The President, narrated by Gregory Peck.
But who is this man who sits by the light in the White House? Who is the man who sits with documents on his desk, grief in his heart, and the world on his shoulders? Lyndon B. Johnson, now the 36th President of the United States of America.
I haven't counted how many times he watched it exactly, but it was, you know, more than half a dozen.
Whoa,
at least, and
really?
Probably more.
That's
so, yeah.
That's sort of sad.
Very sad, yeah. Yeah, it's sad. I mean, he did watch movies like The Graduate.
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
Barbarella.
Really?
You're very pretty, pretty, pretty. My name isn't pretty, pretty. It's Barbarella.
Just those two simple data points you've just given me. Lyndon Johnson sitting there watching The Graduate. Lyndon Johnson sitting there watching Barbarella, this super sexy sci-fi film. My day is made. I just love imagining that.
That's the fun of this.
Yeah. Richard Nixon's taste you have described as spooky. Talk about his spooky taste.
He just watched a lot of perverse films.
Right.
Now he watched a lot of movies just in general, but he also watched some really dark and strange ones. So,
like what?
Well, there's one called, in the U.S. it was released as What the Peeper Saw.
He stole a cat. killed it after torturing it.
It turns me on.
Horrifying.
And it depicts this homicidal 12-year-old boy who murdered his mother and, you know, wants to kill his stepmother. And he has this psychosexual relationship with his stepmother. It's very strange.
Why did you take your clothes off in front of the child?
He's not the child.
Why did you take your clothes off in front of the child, Elise?
Dixon watched it. He sat down and watched the whole thing.
Well, I mean, how did he even, like, come across that to say, yeah, I want to watch what the peeper saw, you know?
As I understand it, Paul Fisher, who was the White House projectionist at the time, would sort of come to learn the tastes of the various presidents and would offer, you know, up the different movies that they had from all the various major studios. So how what the peeper saw got to Paul Fisher to in front of Nixon's eyes, I can't say for sure, but the fact that there are enough weird movies in the list, you know, other ones are like The Collector, and it's about a man who collects women and kidnaps them and puts them in his basement.
How long are you going to keep me here?
I don't know.
So yeah, Nixon watched a lot of messed up stuff.
Oliver Stone has said, and I don't know if this is true, and I don't know if you know based on your research of this, but the movie Patton, starring George C. Scott, came out at the beginning of, was released at the beginning of April of 1970. Nixon invades Cambodia at the end of April, early May 1970, and Stone suggests that one led to the other.
I don't want to get any messages saying that we are holding our position. We're not holding anything. We are advancing constantly, and we're not interested in holding on to anything except the enemy. We're going to hold on to him by the nose, and we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like crap through a goose.
You know, in the 70s, it came out that in the press that Nixon had watched Patton a dozen times while the illegal invasion of Cambodia was happening. Based on the records that, you know, we have, it looks like it was closer to three times during his entire presidency. Twice during the week of the start of the invasion of Cambodia. So,
what that suggests, possibly, that he watched it right as he was essentially invading twice, is it was more like a cheerleading, stiffening his spine, like,
exactly.
I'm going to do this.
Yep.
You know?
Right. Yep. A sort of a pump up song before the big game or something, perversely.
Gerald Ford was not president very long. Was he a movie buff at the White House or not?
As best I can tell, he slept through almost all the movies that they screened at the White House. But Carter may have watched pound for pound the most movies of any president. I think he, based on our current count, something like 480 movies in 4 years, which I think is above even the two-term presidents.
Yeah, it's like two or three a week, right?
Yeah, yeah. So he was watching quite a few. But he mixed in a lot of old movies along with the latest releases. You know, sometimes they saw him in advance. Carter had Francis Ford Coppola at the White House to screen Apocalypse Now before they had even finished it.
Are you an assassin? I'm a soldier. You're neither. You're an errand boy sent by grocery clerks.
And Carter, during the big Camp David Accords meeting in February of 1978, Carter sat down and watched the first Star Wars with Anwar Sadat. And I haven't been able to find out much about that screening, unfortunately, but it's weird to think of two world leaders watching Star Wars together.
Yeah.
And
imagining which of them thinks which of them are the Empire or the Rebels, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You've written about Ronald Reagan watching a famous TV movie at Camp David.
It's called The Day After. People who I've spoken with who were around when it aired on ABC, it was this really important cultural touchstone for them. It takes place in Kansas, and there's a nuclear war with the Soviet Union.
Danny!
Oh! Reagan's published diaries, you know, give us some insight into what he was thinking, you know, about it. And he said it was powerfully done. You know, it left him really depressed, but that it would empower his message that we needed to stay strong in the Soviet Union.
So the first Bush, George H.W., did he have anything peculiar like Richard Nixon, or was he just a kind of plain vanilla kind of cineast?
He watched a fair number of stuff that you'd remember, like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. The first Bush had Arnold Schwarzenegger and his then-wife Maria Shriver over to see Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
She caught me with another woman. Come on, you're French, you understand that?
To be with another woman, that is French. To be caught, that is American.
President Bush and Barbara Bush started watching Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And turned it off after 10 minutes.
Huh. One of the great and notable films that came out during the Clinton administration was Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction. Did that get screened by the Clintons?
Let me double check.
Thank you.
Got the Big Lebowski.
This will not stand, you know? This aggression will not stand, man.
It doesn't look like it.
Hmm.
I submitted a Freedom of Information Act request for every film ever screened at the Clinton White House, and most of them are at least a few dozen movies a year. 1996, the year of that Monica Lewinsky, not when the news broke,
when it
course,
was happening,
but
yeah.
When it was happening, we have, they released a record of three films being watched in that entire year. So I have a hunch that perhaps he watched more than three films and that perhaps there's evidence of something going on there.
Matt, and those films were?
Those films, well, The Birdcage, April 3rd, 1996.
You do Fussy, Fussy, Fussy. You do Martha Graham, Martha Graham, Martha Graham.
Chicano, which is a documentary from May 2nd, 1996.
You still kissing the Democratic Party, thinking they're going to save you, and they ain't going to do it.
And Independence Day from June 22nd, 1996.
Welcome to Earth.
And is Obama too recent? We don't have the records yet for what all the movies he watched?
Yep. I believe we're still, I want to say January 2021 is when those will become, you know, the Obama Library will, which is maintained by the National Archives. I want to say January of 2021 is when Obama's records will be available for Freedom of Information Act requests.
So now that you've immersed yourself in more than a century of presidential movie watching, did patterns emerge or like, wow, I didn't look at, they all do this or their tastes change later in their terms or anything like that?
I think the thing that's been most interesting is baseball and Westerns. You know, you could kind of guess that George W. Bush loved baseball movies just as a former owner of a baseball team. I think that that makes sense. But even Eisenhower, the most watched movie in the Eisenhower White House was Angels in the Outfield, the 1950s version. Huh. It was screened, I want to say, four, maybe even five times in the Eisenhower White House.
You speak to angels?
Certainly. Oh,
can we coach one?
Why not? An angel sits in back of me in the dugout every day.
Nothing more American, I suppose, than all the presidents watching baseball. But Westerns as well. I think that Westerns are a fascinating insight. Movies like High Noon, which might be the most popular movie ever screened in the White House. At least three or four presidents have watched it, probably more. It was supposedly Bill Clinton's favorite movie. George W. Bush watched it in the White House, so.
I guess you all know why I'm here. I need deputies. I'll take all I can get.
And, you know, it's a fantastic movie, and it seems to really resonate with presidents in this sort of image of themselves as the reluctant hero, someone who's not, doesn't want the job, you know.
Right.
Well, I'm begging you, please let's go.
I can't.
Don't try to be a hero. You don't have to be a hero, not for me.
I'm not trying to be a hero. If you think I like this, you're crazy. Look, Amy, this is my town. I've got friends here. I'll swear in a bunch of special deputies, and with a posse behind me, maybe there won't even be any trouble.
You know there'll be trouble.
Then it's better to have it here.
You know, this reluctant hero is, for whatever reason, peek into the psyche of most modern American presidents.
Right. So baseball, westerns, and in the case of Richard Nixon, creepy psycho thriller terror movies.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, we got
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Matt Novak, thank you very, very much.
Well, thanks for having me.
Look at that big hand move along near in high noon.
You can find links to Matt Novak's articles about the movies shown at the White House at our site, studio360.org. And you can follow Matt's interesting, fascinating work in all kinds of realms of the past at paleofuture.gizmodo.com.